Welcome back to Revelation. I'm still in the first chapter of the book of Revelation. You remember I told you that this is the only book in the Bible that contains a special promise to the obedient readers. In the third verse, chapter 1 tells us, "Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand." Now tell me, who would not want to be blessed? Let me ask it this way, how many of you want to be blessed? Just raise your hand. In my mind's eye, I can see hands going up, even as you're driving down the road, as you're sitting in your office, as you're sitting in your home. I can see hands going up all over the world. Everybody wants to be blessed. Well, God has given us an incentive to read this book. Read it all, and you'll find yourself blessed beyond your expectations. When you grasp the things that God has for us, when you rediscover that in the very end of this thing, God and his children went out. The devil loses. The devil is destroyed. Death, hell, and the grave is destroyed. When you read these things, it'll bring joy and peace and confidence and strengthen you for the journey ahead. And then I mentioned the fact that he also warns those who would tamper with this prophecy. In the first chapter, he promised a blessing. But before God closed out these writings, he felt it necessary to add a warning. So he did in the last chapter. He says, "If any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book." That would be a terrible loss, to lose out, to have your part taken out of the book of life and have your part taken out of the holy city and not be a partaker of the great and wonderful things that are written in this book. That would be a tragic loss. Oh, let us not add to or take away from this blessed book. The more I read this book, the more joy I feel bubbling up in my soul. If I was a runner, I'd be running. This book thrills my soul. In the lesson yesterday, I told you that the number 7 appears to be the ruling number in this book. Yesterday, we talked about the 7 churches, the 7 golden candlesticks, the 7 spirits. Today, I'm going to talk about the 7 stars. I may even get down to the 7 lamps, the 7 seals. This Bible speaks about 7 eyes, 7 angels, 7 thunders, 7,000 men, 7 heads and 7 crowns and 7 horns. It speaks of 7 plagues, 7 vials, 7 mountings, 7 kings, 7 trumpets and 7 seals, 7 golden vials it tells us about. And then the 7 no mores, no more sea, no more sorrow, no more crying, no more pain, no more curse, no more night, and no more death. When you read all of these things, doesn't it make you want to just praise his holy name? Doesn't it make you just want to just stand with both hands lifted, giving him praise? Oh, it makes me want to do that. You remember yesterday when I told you, when John turned and to see the voice that spoke to him. He said, I saw 7 golden candlesticks, and in the midst of those golden candlesticks was one like unto the Son of God. John said he had in his right hand 7 stars. So now we have 7 churches. We have 7 golden candlesticks. And in verse 16 tells us that he had in his right hand 7 stars. By this time, John no doubt was curious. No doubt God knew he was. So God told him the mystery of the 7 stars. The mystery of the 7 stars which you saw in my right hand, and the 7 golden candlesticks. The 7 stars are the angels of the 7 churches. And the 7 golden candlesticks which you saw are the 7 churches. I like that. Did you hear that? The 7 golden candlesticks are the 7 churches. Jesus was standing in the midst of his churches. When he told John to write to the church at Ephesus, he said, write these things, saith he that holds the stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the 7 golden candlesticks. Friend, if you have ever feared that the church was never going to make it, let me remind you that God Himself walks in the midst of this church. God Himself is aware of what's going on in His church. He not only walks in the midst of His church, He is the head of His church. God did not leave His church here to struggle and try to make it on its own. God is walking with His church. Have you ever wondered what God does all day long? When you look around you, it appears to you that there is no divine work going on. There's no super spiritual work being done in your neighborhood, at your church. So what is God doing? Is He just up in heaven watching us? No, my friend, God is walking. God is walking with His people. Genesis 3:8, the Bible tells me that Adam and Eve heard the voice of God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. God will walk in your garden also. Genesis 5:24 tells us that Enoch walked with God. Leviticus 26:12, God told Israel, I will walk among you and be your God, and you shall be my people. In Deuteronomy 23:14, God says, the Lord your God walks in the midst of your camp to deliver you. He told Israel, if you walk contrary to me, I'll walk contrary to you. So I say to you today, walk with God. You can. Enoch walked with God. Never fear that God will outwalk you. Never fear that you cannot keep up with God. He will not walk off and leave you stranded. You remember the story of the woman with the issue of blood? She was sick. She was feeble. He was not walking at a pace that she could not overtake him and receive her healing. Walk with God.